You're listening to Chapter and Verse, the teaching ministry of Mule Shoe Fellowship with Steve Frisco. This message was recorded on August 31st, 2022, and is titled, Be Fruity. Grab your Bible and let's join Steve and the message.
About, 150, 160 years ago, maybe even longer than that. We started this, it's called, you hear me talk about it all the time, I'm not going to stay there very long, but that Western culture Christianity thing. God's up here, we're down here. If we're nice down here, he'll be nice up here. If we're naughty down here, he'll whip us from up here, but the whole trick is to get from here to there. That's how you get New Testament church out of an Old Testament God. And so, truth of the matter is Hebrew Christianity that started in Genesis 1. See, Jesus has been here the whole time. People that don't know their history, Jesus is older than Abraham. Keep that one in your smoker. Hey, first time I ever told that in a Sunday morning church, they looked at me like, what the crud are you even talking about? But yeah, Hebrew Christianity, where it talks about a throne. Talks about a king, talks about kingdoms, talks about creation, the whole deal. Sacrifice was made so we could be the temple, the dwelling place of God. He dwells with us, we dwell with him. Well, you're talking about the Holy Ghost. Yes. Has anybody read in your Bible that God is spirit? Has anybody read in Genesis 1 where it says he hovered over the expanse of the earth? Then he put on our clothes for a little while. 33 years to be exact. It was the only way we were ever going to survive this was he was going to have to get here just like we did. You're going to have to walk around like we do. He did it real perfect because we're so imperfect. And then he became the perfect sacrifice for such an imperfect people that we could be the temple of God, the dwelling place of God. Abide means to dwell. Abide with me. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. Why does Christianity across the globe, or especially in America, I think America is the worst now, but we look so powerless and ineffective, like we're giving up ground. Why would you give up ground if you're a co-heir with the owner of the universe? Why? I got a coach in the house, a couple of them. How many of y'all like giving up ground on the home field? It's disgraceful, isn't it? This is our turf. Coach, don't worry about it. We do it every day as Christians. We give up ground. Why? Because of Western culture Christianity says we're leaving. Do you know what? Some of you people were here last week, and darn if you ain't here still. Yeah. He says, you can't do anything. And it can't do anything unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. I'm the vine. You're the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me, you can do nothing. That dwelling with God, if we dwell with God, we dwell in his presence and he dwells in us, then nothing is impossible for his people. We can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens us. We'll read more about this here in just a minute. The things you speak out of your mouth, the things you say, the things you believe, these are the things that brings glory to God here in the earth, bearing fruit. Not just Galatians 5:22. Galatians 5:22 is all inclusive, but you got to put your everyday life in Galatians 5:22 and let that get into you. Fruit of the Spirit. First of all, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. Pretty funny that thing's bookended with love and self-control. And Jesus says right here in these very chapters, if you love me, you'll obey me. You obey me because you love me. We love him because he first loved us. And in that, we place our life and we begin to walk it out. I did tell a guy the other day who was having a lot of trouble in his church. He's probably watching me tonight. I said, just so you know, when you read Galatians 5:22 on down, nice is not in there. So the reason you're having trouble is you're trying to be nice. Gently lead them to the door. Be kind as you escort them to their car. I'm joking, y'all. Kind of. But if anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. Abiding in the Lord, dwelling in his presence. This has to be a tangible part of our life. Dwelling in the presence of God. Not just on Sunday, but every day that ends in Y. Not just for an hour and a half, 24/7. God is with us, and he will not leave us nor forsake us. Because of that, we can bear much fruit. So look what happens to the temple here. If you abide in me and my words abide in you. See, this is key now. This is why we do chapter and verse around here. We don't do booklets. We do chapter and verse because the word of God is powerful and effective and will not return void. It will accomplish everything it was set out to do. But you cannot be a follower of Christ without your Bible. There are a lot of voices in the earth. How are you going to discern which one's which? God sounds like this. So we have the mind of Christ in the very same text that says we become a living sacrifice. It says, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So after 160 years of going to the temple so we can beam me up, Scotty, and we can get out of here, all of a sudden you start reading your Bible and you realize, whoa, dude, I'm here. I'm the temple. The glory's within me. I found my altar when I bend my knee, and I live to the glory of God. I'm connected to the vine. Therefore, I bear much fruit. But it's got to be recognizable by somebody else. He says right here, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it'll be done for you. Now, the word's got to be in you first. What does the word do for your prayer life? The word of God will change your mind from being a selfish wish list to actually talking to God about things that really matter. Pretty soon you got the mind of Christ. You're speaking like Jesus. Ain't no telling what can happen. I'm not saying everything will happen. I'm just telling you what can happen. And it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. Some translations say showing yourselves to be my disciples. I think it's a little hard to reveal God's glory if you're simply saved for heaven. I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. That's people's testimony. Well, I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. Well, how about we just bet 100 on it and we'll collect when we all get there? Really? Are you abiding with him now? Because I think while we've been in these man-made temples, we've told everybody you're going to abide with him later. If you're not abiding with him now, you're probably not going to abide later. You got to be in him and he's got to be in you. Does that not kind of how it reads here? Yeah, I'm just going real slow tonight. We're just having family night. Because here in a minute, I'm going to take you over to Matthew 3, and it says, bearing fruit and keeping with repentance. So if I've not thanked God for allowing me to be the temple, I've just simply been going to the temple, maybe I need to repent. Now, if going to your gathering place helps you in your endeavor to be the temple, great. If you're going to the temple to see the glory of God, but you don't bear the glory of God, who's abiding in you? This is all kind of a tough conversation, but if we'll just have it real fun like here, maybe some of it will soak in. This question I've been asking myself is, I mean, how in the world? I asked myself today. I'm joking and cutting up a pair of auctioneering cattle there first hour this morning. We have prayer time, all that stuff. I'm thinking to myself, I wonder if anybody's thinking about God while I'm up here mumbling. Couldn't pick anybody out from where I was sitting. Couldn't stop and preach to them all. I'm just doing my job. But this has got me thinking about it. How's that work? While I'm cutting up and picking on the guys around there and doing my thing. Murph knows, he watches me torture everybody every week. But how do I live in a way that somebody says, I think that's God? Not that I'm different. Because if you go to the Denver airport, you can see people are different. But how would they ever say, I think that's God? People that don't know him. People who may not even believe. It's God. Here again, I'm just picking on the coaches and the school people around here a little bit. But you know what our institution of government has done to our institution of education? They told you God wasn't allowed. They can't do that. They'd have to kick you people plumb out of the building. Every time you walk in the building, God is present. God is present. Yeah. You cannot legislate God off the earth. I'm just sorry, but he's just like that guy in Tombstone. I'm sorry, but you're just not going to arrest me today. God can't be arrested by man. And so when we realize we're the temple and we bear the glory of God because we found our altar and became the living sacrifice, and we realize that we dwell with God and he dwells with us, we begin to bear much fruit. You know what? What really shows it closest to home is our trust. Strangers don't know how much we trust God. And when we trust him and we're not getting the results we want, we trust him and things are a little difficult. Here's an even better one. You trust God when things are really good. When things are really good, it's almost like we ought to give God a day off. But if you give him a day off, you're not going to reveal his glory. So do we trust him in our everyday life? Do we reveal God when we pray over lunch in a public place? Or when we're truly thankful we get to have lunch? Which is it? So being connected, being in that personal spot. Look over here in Matthew 3 right quick. It's pretty good stuff over here. Matthew 3 talks about the baptism of Jesus. But when you get down to verse 7, we see the infiltration of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Here comes the frozen chosen. Anybody ever had to deal with any of them? I told you the other day, you know, you can talk about me if you want to, but I'm going to hear it. It all comes back around. So there's a group of them having a conversation about me the other day, and that I don't have any affiliation or any education. Well, if you'll talk to me 5 minutes, you can tell that. I mean, I am out of the closet. No affiliation, no education. Really? Well, here's how that worked for them guys that day. Verse 7 says, but when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to his baptism, he said to them, brood of vipers. See, I love it. Oh, God, he's answered our prayers. They're all coming over here. You brood of vipers, would you come over here? Save your own skin? So he said, who warned you to flee the wrath to come? Therefore, bear fruit worthy of repentance. Bear fruit worthy of repentance. That repentance thing, that's the only way that human people who know that the enemy is out there to trick you, to deceive you, to lie to you, and to tickle your flesh, and to tickle your ear, and to grab your eye, and to move your feet, and open your mouth, and all those different things that go against God. Repent. But in America today, we refuse to repent of playing church. We refuse. And at the same time, offer ourselves to be the church. You see, repentance is not simply saying, I wish I hadn't done that. It's saying, now I'm going to do this. Now I'm going to do this. We're all tired of doing things in our life that we wish we didn't do. But have you decided what you're going to do? Maybe we ought to quit repenting for all the dumb stuff we've done and let's start repenting for what we haven't done. How would that be? You see, we had a big political discussion yesterday with one of the most high people I know, and it was a good visit. And I said, you know what? I knew a long time ago that I wasn't going to change the schoolhouse till I changed my house. And I'm not going to change the White House till I change my house. If you want things to politically go different in your land that aligns more with the Bible and this and that, then tend to your seed, because your children are the seed of the nation. Your children are the hope of the future. Your children should possess the mind of Christ. How will your children ever know that God exists unless you reveal the glory of God at the home? And if you've not found your altar, you will not know what you're going to do, and you will not bear fruit, and you will not reveal His glory at home. There is no other place to minister than home. But in the institution of religion, we split the families every week like a covey of quail. That's why I got empty seats here. They didn't like my youth program. That's what they said right out of their mouth. You ain't got a youth program. I do. Call mom and dad in the kitchen table. That's a good one. You're the ones that held hand and decided to have them, keep them. Raise them. Reveal the glory of God. Our children should know God because we know God. Once they know and they refuse, it's on them. But to lead them around by the nose and have somebody else tell them all the time, and then you wonder why the generations are all going to town. Even in Israel, they left Jerusalem and went to Tel Aviv. We're sick of church. We're going to Vegas. That's how you catch a bass. You get something that twinkles more than the last thing you threw in the water. That's what they do. And they're all drawn to that. Oh, that's good. Thank you, Jesus. You know why? Because of the institution of entertainment. We all want to be entertained, don't we? Yeah. I mean, I know I'm a funny guy and all, but I'm not all that entertaining. We read a lot of the Bible, and we sit here for a long time every week. I think my family's worth it. Look, I get 10 times more than most of you, and I don't get enough. My family's worth it. Got to do this. Entertainment industry. That's how you hold somebody's attention. Yeah. That's why you got to change the lights. Change the time. Change the day. Change the music. Oh, let's change the message. If you don't believe me, ask T.D. Jakes. He didn't lose any of his crowd. He changed the message and kept the entertainment level up till everybody stays. Oh, yeah, I called him out by name. That'd be great. I'd love to get a phone call. Got a couple scriptures I'd like to go over with him next chance I get. You see, the institution of entertainment told you that marriage could be a lot of different things. Now, in the name of entertainment, the message coming from one of the places in the country tells you the same thing. That's not the mind of Christ. That's conforming to the pattern of this world. We have to repent of our patterns. And so, these Pharisees, he said, repent. And don't think you save yourselves. We have Abraham as our father. Don't tell me about your heritage. I don't care if your grandma put the first brick in the building. I don't care if the grand poobah is a descendant of Peter. I don't care how you got here. I don't care what your affiliation is. I don't care what your tribe is. Are you born again? Do you bear the likeness of Christ? Does God dwell with you? And do you dwell with him? And have you repented and ready to go do something that bears fruit? Everybody says we're raising a herd of box checkers. There's some boxes to check. Do that. He said, I don't want to hear about Abraham and your history. For I say to you, God is able to raise up children to Abraham from these stones. If you want to follow up on that, it's Romans 9 and Galatians 3. We'll cover that quite extensively. And even now the axe is laid at the root of the trees, and therefore every tree which does not bear good fruit is cut down, thrown into the fire. A little later on in the Bible, he tells us that a good tree cannot bear bad fruit. But a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. There's a difference between good and evil. Do you know the problem in America today? On our way to heaven, we're not doing either one. As long as you're not being publicly evil, you're okay. One of my buddy from Lano, he put it best yesterday while I was scooping poop. He said, I figured it out. We got people in America today telling people that they're on the wide road, that they're on the narrow road. So everybody's okay. But the minute you tell people on the wide road that they're not on the narrow road, they'll get up and leave you fellowship. That's a good word right there. We tell people that are on the wide road that we're all on the narrow road. We're all okay. We're not doing anything. We're not changing anything. We're not holding on to what we got. We're not making a difference. We're not revealing God's glory, but we all prayed the prayer. We all blew the snot. We all got wet and we all got dry, so we're all going home. Let's just sing a couple of stanzas of I'll Fly Away and everybody will be good. To work. It says, look, the axe is laid at the root of the tree, therefore every tree does not do it, it's going in the fire. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I'm not worthy to carry. He'll baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire. Baptize you with the Holy Spirit. When you find your altar, just sit here for a second and let God let that one sink in. Have you found your altar? Laid it down? You ready to just quit trying to be good? And now you're going to try to be something? Go do something? Bear fruit? You bowed your knee to Jesus and said, "Here I am, Lord." All of us have people in our influence, whether it's our children, our spouses, our friends, our workplaces, where we change the atmosphere.
Well, that concludes this segment in our message, Be Fruity. Come join us 7:30 Wednesday nights at 710 East American Boulevard in Muleshoe, Texas. We're on the web, www.muleshoefellowship.org. We're on YouTube as Muleshoe Fellowship. And for Steve and everyone at Muleshoe Fellowship, God bless.